most well-known psalm in the Old Testament. It's brought encouragement and peace to many struggling believers down through the years. And as we tonight read and ponder these great words, I trust our minds will be brought to a place of trust and peace and rest as we come to know the Saviour, the one who is described for us in this psalm as a shepherd. Because this psalm seamlessly takes us from God the Father to God the Son, the shepherd of whom David writes is both God the Father and God the Son. You notice, if you have a Bible, that God is mentioned in the opening words as the Lord. Capital letters, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the covenant name of God, that great name of God first disclosed to Moses at the burning bush, the I am whom I am, the covenant-keeping God then. And how wonderful it is to hear of God, the holy, righteous, just God of heaven, God as shepherd. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he took this metaphor to himself when he spoke of himself as the good shepherd. And immediately his hearers would have understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was making a claim to be equal with God. God was the shepherd. And now the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world and says, I am the good shepherd. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a shepherd who brings salvation and comfort and blessing, particularly in the midst of troubling times. I've mentioned that Psalm 22 describes for us the good shepherd dying for the sheep. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the Messiah on the cross. In a way, it describes for us in a way that the New Testament does not describe even the mind, the thinking, the emotional life of Jesus as the good shepherd as he lays down his life. Psalm 23, the great shepherd who cares for the sheep. And in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd, the one who has gone into glory, will one day return as the chief shepherd for his sheep. This great acclamation as Jesus Christ in his resurrection glory returns to heaven. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And that King of glory then, in Psalm 23, is the shepherd. David introduces us to the one who brings salvation for us in our need. Then he's portrayed for us as the one who takes care of us against our foes. And then he's also portrayed for us as the one who can take care of our future. So I want us to think tonight on this great psalm, the Lord our shepherd. And the first thing that we want to look at tonight from this psalm, the one who can take care of our frailty. The one who can take care of our frailty, our weakness, our need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, many people try to apply the soothing effect of this psalm to themselves when they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd. But you notice that David in this psalm is emphatically personal. The Lord is my shepherd. And all the way through the psalm, we have these personal pronouns. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again and again and again, the psalm is very personal. And the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear in the days of his earthly ministry that not everyone trusted in him. Some of his critics said to him, if you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. The Lord Jesus replied, John 10, verses 25 to 28. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Not all are his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So according to the Lord Jesus Christ, not everybody is one of his sheep. The way to become one of his sheep is to hear the shepherd's voice, the one who verified that he was the Messiah by what he did in his sinless life, the miracles he performed, his atoning death, his mighty resurrection, and to believe in him in the sense of personally trusting and following him, that you can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. And I mentioned the setting of Psalm 23 reminds us that at the core of what the Lord Jesus Christ and taught and did is the cross. It's significant that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, the Messiah, forsaken of God, bears our sins on the cross, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's only by faith in that Savior that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. So the first question to ask tonight is, are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your shepherd? The one who died for your sins on the cross. You must come to Jesus Christ in faith and know him as your personal shepherd before you can apply all the wonderful truths of this psalm to your heart and life. And I guess it occurs to us all that if the Lord Jesus Christ is to be our shepherd, then we have to recognize that there is a sense in which the Bible describes us as being like sheep. And naturally, we do not like that analogy. Sheep are among the most stupid animals in the whole world. They're defenseless and helpless and timid. They get lost and they get hurt. They don't have obvious ways of defending themselves. And then to have God tell us that we are like sheep. But if we're truly honest with ourselves, we know that in the spiritual world, that is very true. We're inclined to be self-destructive, and we cannot save ourselves. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We all have that tendency towards self-indulgent lostness, going our own way, doing our own thing. So you own up before God tonight. Lord, I am like a sheep. I go astray. I need a shepherd. Now that's a difficult thing to admit, but it's where the Christian life begins. And if you know that Messiah of Psalm 22, the one who on the cross died for your sins, if you're trusting in him tonight and you're following him, if you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, the covenant-keeping, faithful, personal shepherd, then David says these two options are open. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. But if you're living in want, it's an indication the Lord is not your shepherd. If there's an emptiness and despair and frustration in your life, isn't that an indication that the Lord is not your shepherd? You see, if anyone else or anything else is shepherding you, you will never know this satisfaction that David speaks of. If your job shepherds you, then there's always a restlessness and a frustration. If education is your shepherd, then there's that also that frustration and that disillusionment. There's always more to know. If another person other than Jesus is your shepherd, you will be left empty ultimately because other people will always disappoint and always let you down. If substance abuse is your shepherd, one rock singer said lately, if substance abuse is what we're living for, then we are wasted. You're wasted, she said. But if the Lord is your shepherd, David says, you shall not want. Now, David had a familiarity of tending sheep. He had vast experience serving as a shepherd. So he's speaking here of not something he'd heard about or casually come across, but something that he had personal experience of, shepherding sheep. The Lord was David's shepherd, and he knew him in a real, personal, and intimate way. And David knew shepherds provide for their sheep. They tend to the needs of their sheep. David had come to know this great shepherd, and he declares that as a result of knowing the shepherd, he wanted nothing. The Lord had cared for him. The Lord had provided for him. The Lord had met his needs. The Lord was the one he was completely satisfied with. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Having tended sheep for many years himself, David was familiar with the behavior of sheep. He knew that sheep would love to feed in green pastures without the infestation of insects and flies to trouble them in those areas, but green pastures where they could lie down. Sheep would not drink fast-flowing water. David knew the needs of sheep. He knew sheep were vulnerable to attack. David had to defend his sheep. And David knew that the Lord was able to lead him into green pastures of peace and provision, lead him to refreshing waters. See, we are living in a world at the moment of great uncertainty, aren't we? Great turmoil. In our Western society, a lack of contentment. You would think in the UK, with our relatively high material comforts and standards of living, that there would be great contentment. But the discontent in our society shows us that people are not finding true soul, heart, life satisfaction. There's a widespread restlessness. Even some who profess to be Christians are not content. We see unprecedented numbers reading self-help books that promise to sort out the inner turmoil that exists in people's lives. And David knew that sheep are vulnerable to attack, and they need the protection of a shepherd. Perhaps the main reason God's people lack contentment is that we are not feeding on the green pastures of the Word of God. If we fill our minds and lives with the poisonous weeds of TV and the media and the internet and the latest religious fads, then we are going to be troubled and restless. David says, the Lord Jesus Christ leads his sheep into the green pastures of his grace and word, and leads us into the still waters of refreshment in that word for our thirsty souls. So there are enemies. Satan is an enemy. Our ongoing battle with our own sins, the enticing sounds of this world, how we need the security found in the shepherd of our souls to lead us to green pastures and still waters. And David is also realistic when he says in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David knew, yes, sheep are prone to wander. We can even be aware of the gracious provision of the shepherd and yet still spiritually wander. David himself knew there were times in his own life when he had wandered away from God. He'd found himself indulging in the snares of this world, and he'd wandered away from God. But he also knew of a shepherd who was willing to welcome him back to the fold of grace, one who could restore his soul, abounding in grace. Like a loving shepherd, then, there is a shepherd who will lead his people into paths of righteousness, showing you tonight the right path to travel. And David rejoiced for those times when the Lord, even when he'd strayed, restored him and then led him in right ways. We too are prone to wander and go astray. And we all of us know times of blessing, of restoration. times when we foolishly pursued the desires of the world and we wandered. When we knew the attacks of the devil and gave in to temptation and wandered. When the sinful desires of our heart caused us to wander away from God. And God sometimes has to lovingly chastise his people to restore us to fellowship. But the great shepherd takes no pleasure in his sheep going astray. And through the Holy Spirit, the shepherd calls us back, restores us back to the fold to enjoy fellowship and provision and paths of righteousness. And for the sheep, that means right paths, true paths. David knew God leading him in paths of uprightness after his restoration, enabling him to carry out his calling as the king in the nation. What is God's desire? What is God's calling for you if you're tonight a Christian? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification and holiness, that God's intention then is to sanctify us. So let's keep short accounts with God. Some of us, that is why we've wandered. We didn't keep a short account with God. We didn't confess our sins and know God's cleansing. We tolerated sins in our lives. And sin going unconfessed leads to wandering. But when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is such a faithful shepherd, says David. He does it for his own name's sake. He does it for his own glory. He does it for the reputation of his honor. What kind of reputation would a shepherd have if everyone thought the shepherd was irresponsible and careless with the sheep? What kind of reputation would God earn for himself if he was careless over his people? So if you're a Christian this evening, God's name, his glory, his honor, his reputation. He wants the world to know that he is faithful to provide for all his people and to guide you into paths of righteousness, to a holy life. So here is the one who can take care of our frailty. Then secondly, the one who can take care of our foes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I've said sheep have no natural defenses. Sheep do not have sharp claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have sharp, big horns. Sheep are not even able to run very fast. David, who had been a shepherd, was also a man of war. He'd faced death on many occasions. But the Lord had preserved his life. David knew what it was to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But he'd learned to trust the Lord. To know that the Lord was with him, guiding him. He was in the sovereign hands of a sovereign God. What was there to fear if the Lord was near, if the Lord was at hand? If you know tonight that Jesus Christ is leading you, if you know that he's in absolute control of your life, then even the dark valleys, you can know his presence and you can go through them in security, knowing that shadows cannot harm you. The shadow of an angry dog cannot bite you. The shadow of a scorpion cannot strike you. Every morning in Lokichokyo, I had to remind myself when I got up out of bed, get hold of my shoe, bang the shoes. Because in the shoe, one morning there was a big frog in one of my shoes and out he jumped. I don't know who was more surprised, me or the frog. But off he jumped, he ran away. But I didn't want a scorpion in there. Once or twice in the past, there have been scorpions around and I didn't want a scorpion in my shoe. You put your foot in the shoe and the scorpion bites you. But the shadow of a scorpion, that can't strike you. And David is saying the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, it cannot destroy the believer. Shadows can't harm you if you're walking with Jesus Christ. He casts the light in the valley. And you have the promise of the light of his presence. Because we all face discouraging and even frightening situations at times in life. Like David, we can know in those difficult, frightening, discouraging times the presence of the Lord. If the Lord doesn't return first, we will all have to go literally through the valley of the shadow of death. We will need a companion and guide to cast the light of his presence in the darkness of that valley. So David speaks of the shepherd with him, even in the dark valleys. And he speaks of the shepherd's rod and staff comforting him in times of distress. In Lochichocio, there were no sheep, but there were lots of goats. And all the shepherds, even some of the young people sometimes, young teenagers who were looking after the goats, they had a rod and a staff. But their rod now is an AK-47. But they do still have a staff, a crook. So they have a crook, a stick, and a rifle. But a good shepherd in the times of David had a rod and staff. The rod was like a large, heavy club that would crush the head of an animal that would come and attack the sheep. The staff, the shepherd's crook, was to guide the sheep, to grasp the neck of a sheep, to guide them in the right path, in the right way. A rod and staff. Well, if we have a shepherd, if we are believers tonight, who stands in our defense and who guides us into the right paths, and who prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I think this is an ongoing description of the work of the shepherd. This is a description of peace and rest that David is offering here. David is a man of war who knew the battlefield, knew that meals sometimes had to be eaten in a hurry, fearing the attack of an enemy. But when it comes to a shepherd, and when it comes to sheep, the shepherd, particularly in areas where there was insect infestation or perhaps disease, what would the shepherd do? The shepherd would gather the sheep to one place and use small wooden raised tables to feed the sheep. A bit like we have feeding troughs for animals, don't we? We have big wooden or cast iron or aluminium feeding troughs for animals these days. Well, in those days, small raised tables that the shepherds would use for feeding the sheep so that the sheep wouldn't pick up parasites, wouldn't pick up diseases. The shepherd would feed them, and the sheep then were preserved from their enemies. The shepherd tending for the sheep, caring for the sheep, even in the presence of their enemies. There are times when the world is raging around us. There are times in the workplace where we are under pressure from the culture around us that presses in and would seek to push us in a different direction. The Lord's provision, the Lord's help, even the Lord's peace in the midst of all that turmoil. The Lord providing for his people. And David, you describes it so wonderfully. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And many of you have known such occasions when you have felt really in times of difficulty and of pressure, the world pressing in on you, and the Lord came and provided a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. When the head of the sheep was anointed with oil, the oil would heal wounds. The oil would keep away troublesome flies that attack sheep. I took a spray with me to Lochichocio because of the mosquitoes. It was a very helpful spray. It's the spray, apparently, I was told, that the SAS use for their jungle training. So I thought that'll sort out the mosquitoes in Lochichocio. And I sprayed it every evening on my arms because I knew once the sun started to go down, the mosquitoes would start biting. So I need something to keep the mosquitoes away. Well, this was the equivalent in David's day. The oil would keep away the troublesome flies that would attack the sheep. The flies wouldn't attack the sheep through their thick woolen coats. The sheep would attack the head of, the flies would attack the head of the sheep. So the shepherd would anoint the sheep with oil. It seems foreign to us, but in the culture of that time, that would even be applied to guests arriving at your home. They would be anointed with oil as a sign of honor. When a guest, an honored guest, was welcomed into a home, the feet were washed, his head was anointed. It was a sign of welcome and acceptance and honor. David rejoiced that he was always graciously welcomed and protected by the shepherd. And we can apply that to the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, in the safe keeping of God, in the anointing and blessing of the Holy Spirit. God keeps us, anoints us. If you're a Christian tonight, your relationship to the Holy Spirit has to be a constant, ongoing, daily one. We need the Holy Spirit and all the grace of God available to us, all the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through us to live the Christian life, particularly in our ungodly culture. So as David pondered the sufficiency of the shepherd, he declared his cup was running over. While walking the journey of life, the shepherd had guided him, had provided for him, had protected him, dealt with all his needs. David was so blessed, he couldn't even contain all that he'd received from the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who can take care of our frailty, the one who can take care of our foes, and then thirdly, the one who can take care of our future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David sums up his experience. The shepherd would guide him, safely home, and would guide him safely in a twofold way. David rejoiced in present grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David was trusting in the Lord's provision for him in this world. Not a day went by without him experiencing God's goodness and mercy. And life for us in our culture, it's full of changes. Sometimes there are green pastures and still waters and right paths. But sometimes there are dark valleys. Sometimes there are fears. Sometimes there are troubles and difficulties. We need God's goodness and mercy day by day, his provision. But David also anticipated future glory. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew life in this world is not all that there is. David anticipated a future glory, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That death would serve for him an entrance into the eternal presence of God. So that's why there's great comfort and assurance and blessing for every believer in this psalm. That those who are saved by God's grace and know Jesus as their shepherd will one day dwell in the presence of the shepherd forever. The one who purchased redemption for his people at the cross. The one whose death we will remember at the end of this service. The one who triumphed over death in resurrection. That when a believer closes his or her eyes in death, they experience the presence of the Lord, their shepherd. The Christian knows the shepherd will never leave, never forsake those for whom he shed his precious blood. So if tonight you're struggling away from the fold of fellowship, there's a shepherd who calls you to return to a place of security and provision. If you've never known the salvation of this shepherd, the shepherd calls you to respond to him in repentance and faith, to come and receive the provision that he alone can provide. It's been said that God has placed his name all over this psalm, that he's written his name in bold letters all over the psalm. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. Jehovah Shalom, the God who gives peace. He restores my soul. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord Most High. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm saying, do you know the shepherd? If you know the shepherd and your relationship with him, is it all that it should be? Is it all that it could be? It may be that you need tonight restoring in your soul. Remember, for this shepherd, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And all the more so through this world, there are things that cause us to go astray, that draw us away from the Lord. Hear the voice of the shepherd tonight as he calls you. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he describes, using a different analogy, but describes what it means to follow the shepherd all through life. The Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If you don't know the shepherd, come to him, he will save your soul. If you've strayed from the shepherd, you need to entrust yourself to him again as your shepherd, saviour, king. And he will surely restore your soul. And Jesus said, whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this glorious picture that the word of God gives us of God as our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd who is with his people all through life, goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life, with his people even in the dark valleys, even going through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd who in glory receives his people, for he himself has been raised up in glory, ascended up to heaven. The gates of heaven were lifted up for the King of glory to come in. And one day this glorious King will return to this world to call all his people safely home. And there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And the people of God will rejoice in the presence of the shepherd forever. And so we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak to every heart and call us to follow this shepherd more and more every day in our lives, hearing his word, seeking him as we pray, being led into green pastures and beside still waters. Help us, Lord, in our times of weakness. We thank you that you're the God who protects and watches over his people. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing another setting of Psalm 23 as our final setting. This is the setting, the King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. And it's in our hymn books at number 693. Hymn 693, the King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. So 693, we'll stand to sing again.
Thank you.
Lord, we give you praise and thanks for this great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. How we rejoice in him tonight, the one who laid down his life over the sheep. We pray, Lord, for those who have never trusted in him before, that even tonight, in faith, calling out to him, turning from sin and asking for cleansing, they may find this shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep as the one who will save to the uttermost all who come to God through faith in him. Lord, those who strayed away, we pray for restoring grace to know again what it is to return to the shepherd and bishop of their souls, the one who has loved them with an everlasting love and who will never let his people go. And for all of us, as we rejoice in the shepherd, that we may, O Lord, know and rejoice in all the provision that he has made for us, in green pastures and still waters, even in times of dark valleys, the shepherd is with us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.